Good. It's good to be in the house of prayer this morning. It was literally the 11th hour before I decided to try to make it down my hill, and I really been checking all last night up until early this morning, like, can I do it? Can we do it? And our dog woke me up about 4 o'clock. Last night, I tell you, about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, we took him out for the walk, and I was going to test it. And God is good, because I about broke my neck 3 or 4 times trying to walk him. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to be able to make it in the morning. We're not going to be able to make it. And so, you know, you all, you know, here's the thing about loving God and the church, is why it's so important, is that when you grow up, when you raise up in the Lord's church and to worship him every Lord's day, it becomes a custom. Amen. And when you don't have that, it's something about Sunday morning. You know, it's something about Sunday morning, and God's been so good to us. And when you just kind of get off just a little bit, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we had the snow and all that stuff. And so my mind is turning rather, man, it's, so I tested it yesterday when I got out, when it was doing it yesterday. And it was like, man, I'm not, like, not made it back up in my driveway. So I'm like, oh man, this is not going to be good. So later on, I kind of gave it some time, and I'm going to get to my sermon. I just want to tell y'all, this is good to be here this morning. And so later on, I started making some calls to the shepherds and talking to the guys and say, okay, guys, this is the deal. This is what we got. What do you think? And appreciate all the elders, their feedback. And some feedback wasn't as clear as others, but it's okay. We brought it together. And ultimately had a plan, and great plan. And I want to thank everybody, who was willing to step up in the absence of whoever it may have been, be it the preacher, be it the song leader, be it the Bible class teacher. We have a blessed congregation, brethren. That's what I want to just tell us. It's awesome that when we can step up and serve God in any capacity, that he blesses us to serve God. You know, you may not be titled as the preacher, but you was willing to step in and preach. I was just joking with Brother Dick on Wednesday that I said, Brother Dick, the forecast is looking ugly, and you better be ready to bring a word, because you're the elder of the month. Amen. Dick was willing to do that. Now, he wasn't jumping for joy, but he was willing to do that. Amen. And then just great calling there, Brother Randy calling and saying, okay, I'll call Danny and tell Danny what we got. And I'll call Brother Paul Williams, and Paul called me this morning right when I was about to leave the house. Don, you going to be here? Okay, just want to make sure. And if not, I'll put my lesson to the side. Say, praise God, Paul, you're going to need it. Man, hold on to it for sure. So all I'm saying is, you all, it's awesome to be here. Sheldon want to take a chance with me coming down the hill. Bless her heart. So if it wouldn't have gone right, at least I have somebody to take care of me, man, because if both of us would be in that situation, but Lord willing, I made it. One quick announcement. Brother Roy Robertson's Connect group is going to meet immediately after service here at the building. So if you're in Roy's Connect group, you're meeting immediately after service in the building. Some of our Connect groups you all have counseled. I know ours have, because different people are going to be gone. So that's just part of it. It's just part of it, isn't it? Just part of it. But thank God you all are here. Thank God. And I was pulling up to the building on this morning, and I was coming across the bridge, and without calling any names, I looked over to the left and I said, oh man, they're meeting. And then I looked over to the right and said, praise Jesus, we meeting too. Amen. Amen. God is good. Be open your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Joshua. Yes. Sister Linda Mary. Then the Sister Linda Wright had to go home. Okay, and Brother Max, man, love fell and cracked some ribs. You all, it is, and I was curious when I walked up to the door this morning. I was curious. I'm like, we decided to have church outside. I saw those chairs. I'm like, boy, we're really doing this thing, aren't we? Praise Jesus. But it was to block the ice, so very ingenious way to do that. Forget the salt, put chairs out. Praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. There's many of you all that are viewing us live stream, and praise the Lord. It's a blessing to have that because some of our members say, you know, we're going to be tuning in, and so they're worshiping with us, and pray for our youth group as they travel back from Winterfest. Joshua chapter 2, beginning verses 8 through 11. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we heard now the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Did you know everyone in here has a reputation? Amen. We've all got a reputation. Now, I don't know if your reputation is good, bad, or indifferent, but we all have a reputation. You know, it's something that the proverb writer, Shell, and I was just talking this morning, and Shell was preaching, and I was listening, but praise the Lord, because she knew she wasn't going to be able to make worship. So she was studying and texting our son and daughter some things, and so I was listening. She was asking about, it was a song that I wanted to listen to. I said, go to this song, listen to something. And the song title was Close to You, something like that. But it was talking about good friends, being close to one another and being there for one another. So Shell said, well, you know, so she texts that song, said to our son and daughter, said, and basically what she was saying is, she says, I'll always be there, something like that. That was the title. She was saying to him, you know, I'll always be there. And so they was having a conversation, our son and wife having a conversation. And the scripture she was looking for was Proverbs 18:24, where Solomon says, he that has friends first must show himself friendly. But we have a friend that would stick closer than a brother. It's quite natural. That's Jesus Christ. But you think about that. Do you have a reputation of being friendly? Do you have a reputation of being kind? What kind of reputation do you have? You know, a lot of times in our lives, you all, we think reputation is important, but it really is important. Well, here in this passage, everyone needs to know this morning that to believe that God cannot use you in your current state. Sometimes we feel like God just cannot use us. Why? Because of our reputation, right? Well, it was remarkable to me that God used Rahab in Joshua chapter 2 as the gateway to that land, brethren, that he promised to his people, and he used her before he delivered her. And brethren, I thought for a minute, for God to use Rahab, she would have to quit her job. Y'all know what her job was, right? Rahab was a prostitute. And I thought for God to use me, I would have to completely be free of any failures or addictions or whatever hang-ups we have, because we think like that God can't use us because of who we are, brethren. And maybe it's because of our bondage. Maybe it's because of our brokenness. Have you ever thought like that? Have you ever thought, God, I know me, and how can you use me? I want to show you in this text where Rahab says, we've heard about you. You have a reputation. So now a woman with a reputation, brethren, is telling the men of Israel about a reputation, their reputation, because your enemy knows, brethren, more about God's plan than you do. For some of us, the devil believes, church, that our destiny is more than we do. He believes in us. Isn't that something, though, you think about that, that the devil believes in what we can do more than what we think we can do? And church, so you need to know how, well, you say, preacher, well, how can you tell that? Well, by the way he's been attacking you. By the way the things he's been bringing against you. And the devil doesn't, brethren, know this, doesn't waste any artillery over anybody that's not threatening him. So, you know, sometimes I pray, and I pray oftentimes to the Lord, Lord, thank you for my trials and my tribulations, because they work patience, and patience character, and character hope, right? Well, have you ever prayed to thank God for your trials and tribulations? Yeah. You know, that really takes a spiritual person to do that, because no one in here wants trials. Nobody wants pain and suffering. I don't want them, but I thank God for them, because I know God is using me for a purpose. And I know, brethren, that these trials and tribulations come because Satan knows I'm a threat to him, or you are a threat to him. And so, brethren, life is hard for all of us, and I know that. But in this passage, God uses Rahab, who is technically an enemy of Israel. You have to remember that she was not one of them, brethren. You have to remember God uses somebody who was technically an enemy to inform them, the children of Israel, of their destiny. I wonder if God's been trying to get an announcement through to you about his plan that he has for you, but he hasn't been doing it through your friends. Perhaps he's been doing it through your fights. Perhaps he's been doing it through your struggles, through your ups and downs. And the reason that you're fighting may just be for one person. The reason that you're fighting may not even be about you. It may be about someone else. And if that one person can receive the word, brethren, they should know maybe the attack was an announcement that God has got you on the edge, brethren, of your promise, and now it's not time for you to turn back. Don't turn back. Rahab said, we've heard about you. Now, brethren, I wonder, has your enemy heard about you? Amen. Because there's one time in scripture, if you remember, the Bible says that there were these Jewish priests. They were called the seven sons of Sceva. We find in Acts chapter 19 and the verses 11 through 20. And they wanted the ability to lay hands on people like they saw Paul lay hands on people. And they were like, hey, man, look, Paul, wow, that's pretty cool. You're laying hands on people and you're healing people. And they were saying, well, maybe we can do that. Maybe we can make some money off that, and maybe we can use the power to make a profit. And when they went to do it, brethren, it was such a crazy thing that happened. If you have time, read this story, Acts chapter 19, because one of the demons that was looking at these seven sons of Sceva said back to them, hey, now wait a minute. He says, they're talking about Jesus. We know Jesus. You're talking about Paul. We know Paul, but who are you? Amen. They said, I don't get paid to argue with you. Who are you? I don't even know your name. Y'all see this? Man, it was so interesting. See, some of y'all, brethren, are like, I don't even understand all this preaching about attack, and that's because the devil doesn't even know your name. Thought about that? See, brethren, who who are you? Does the enemy know who you are? The devil knew Job's name, brethren, because when he came before God, he says, hey, I've been going to and fro from the earth, and I've been messing with people. And God said, have you tried my servant Job? Amen. Job is special to me, God said. And Job is so faithful and trustworthy that you can test him and try him. And I trust Job with this, with the trouble. And if you tempt Job, I tell you, Mr. Satan, he won't sin against me. And brethren, so when the enemy had touched Job's family and touched Job's cattle and touched Job's oxen and touched Job's house, he was still unable to make Job deny God. So he came back to God. He came back and said, let me go another round at him, God, and you haven't let me touch him. Amen. But if you let me touch him, God, I'm sure he'll denounce you. And God said, you can do anything you want to do with him. You just can't take his life. Somebody in here this morning, brethren, ought to be able to shout, I'm still here. Amen. I'm still here because I know you've been through some stuff. All of us has been through some stuff, brethren. And I've been through some things, but I'm still here. So even, brethren, when his body, Job's body, was covered with boils, and Job was in so much pain that even his wife said, obviously, God has left you. And there's no need for you to continue to play this game like God is good when it's obvious that he isn't good. Amen. Has anybody ever, brethren, just been so negative in your life that they see you going through some stuff and instead of them encouraging you, they say stuff like, well, just kind of how life is. I don't know. What do they say? You know what I'm saying? What could it? But they don't encourage you, right? And here Job is going through all that stuff, and his wife, brethren, his wife said, "Why don't you just curse God? Stop. Have anybody ever said to you, stop playing this church thing because you just got trouble all the time? Why are you going to church? I mean, they may not say it, you all. They may not." But you got that feel that, you know, they'll do things like this. They'll do things like, you know, you trying to encourage them to worship God. And they'd be like, yeah, mm-hmm. But you got trouble. Right? You better believe we got trouble. Christians aren't exempt from trouble. Amen. Matter of fact, if anybody's going to have some show enough trouble, it's going to be God's children, right? Because you're a threat to Satan. So here he is, brethren, and it's a funny thing about Job, because the Bible says that in all that came about to him, he did not charge any wrongdoing to God. In other words, he didn't let his circumstances alter God's reputation. How many of y'all know God has a reputation? Yeah, he's got one, brethren, because he had a relationship with Job. And in other words, you can make me doubt him. I know too much about him. He's been good to me. It doesn't feel good right now. It's been a while since I felt his presence, but I know he's with me. Why? Because he's got a reputation, right? I'm just trying to get to see Rahab. So when I get, brethren, from God, based on my relationship, you can't tell me God's not a healer. Amen. You can't tell me, brethren, that God's not a provider. Right? You can't tell me, brethren, that God is not a way maker. He'll make a way out of no way. And I've seen him do it in my life, brethren. And he chooses whom he wants to choose, and he uses whom he wants to use, even a prostitute named Rahab. Right? And in case you're thinking I'm making too much, brethren, out of this Old Testament scripture, would it interest you to know that in the New Testament, Rahab is mentioned as well? Well, in Matthew chapter 1, known as the genealogy of Jesus, where the writer takes time to tell us that there are 14 generations, and then there are 14 more generations, and then there are 14 more generations. And this is part of the Bible that most of us skip. Because, brethren, it's a bunch of names that are unfamiliar to us. And it goes like this. He begot him, and he begot in, they begot in, they begot, and they begot. And we get tired of that, don't we? We like, okay, get to it. They begot. And brethren, and the whole time, these begots are a blessing. Some of the stuff you skip would bless you if you slow down and look at it. I got blessed, brethren, because studying the Bible, I usually skip to verse 18 where it mentions the name of Jesus. That's where we want to get, right? Let's get on to Jesus. And brethren, but I slowed down and read the names in Matthew chapter 1. And the writer told me, beginning in verse 5, that Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose father was Rahab. Oh, Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king. We know Jesus came through the lineage of David, right? See, brother, in order to get to Jesus, you got to go through Rahab. In order, brother, to get to the Prince of Peace, you have to go through the prostitute if you're tracing the family line of Jesus. His ancestry.com, brethren, will lead you to Rahab's house. Huh? Watch, brethren. And just in case you think that's a unique incident in Matthew chapter 1, perhaps we should visit Hebrews chapter 11. This scripture is commonly called the Hall of Faith. And I'm coming to my conclusion, and let everybody go home. But this scripture, brethren, as we know it as the Hall of Faith, it lists some of the heroes that you will be familiar with and some of the mighty exploits that they did for God in their lifetime. And church, many of the people that we mention and teach about in Sunday school, and many of the people that we idolize in our Bible classes, and many of the historical turning points of the nation of Israel's faith, it's mentioned in Hebrews 11, where it says in verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Now, brethren, God does not bring you into deep waters to kill you. Praise the Lord. He brings you into deep waters, church, because he knows your enemies can't swim. God's an awesome God. And our trials, church, our tribulations are where God brings our doubts so that we really have to deal with them below the surface and decide whether or not we'll believe even though we have some doubts. So, the Egyptians drowned because verse 30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Verse 31 says, by faith, the harlot, the prostitute Rahab, did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received spies with peace. Verse 32, and what more shall I say? For the time will fail me to tell you of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah. Also of David and Samuel in the prophets. You know, when I was reading that, I said, now, wait a minute. You don't have time to talk to me about David, the king, but you had time to talk to me about Rahab, the harlot. God says that's right, because I don't choose people the way you choose people. Some of the people I want to use, God says, are people whose names you don't even know. God doesn't use people, church, who have a reputation with people. God uses people who has a reputation with him. Amen. So the Hebrew writer said, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Isaac, by faith, Jacob, by faith, Joseph, by faith, Moses, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. And then he said, by faith, the harlot, Rahab. What more shall I say? What more should I say? That's your lesson. That's your lesson. Isn't that all right, brother? The message is simply this. God can use every single one of us in spite of our reputation. That's good news. I had a reputation. Nothing bad, but I had a reputation. You had a reputation. You've got a reputation. But most importantly, God has a reputation. And I'm so glad I know him. Praise the Lord. Church, if you're here this morning, he brought this gathering of people here this morning to hear that word. Just so you can know that our God is still on the throne. Just so you can know, in spite of your downfalls, in spite of your nobodiness, God can use you. And he wants to use you. And he would choose you not the way man will choose you. If you're here this morning and you may think that you're just a nobody, God can't use you. God loves you so much that he sent his only begotten son. I think about that often, you all. I think about that often. That God loved me so much that in spite of myself, Hannah, in spite of myself, Sarah, in spite of myself, Emma, in spite of myself, you all, because see, I remember these kids growing up at the church. They have a reputation with me. Danny Bake, they got a reputation with me. I know them. I really know them. And y'all some awesome kids, in spite of what you do used to do in this building. Don't you know that's how God is, you all? He really knows us, in spite of what no one else knows about us. And that's an awesome Savior. And I'm so thankful, Brother Danny, I'm so thankful that he chose me. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God. He loves you. Don't put off coming to him tomorrow, because it's not promised to you. You know, every day I look at the news, I see horrible things of people dying and you know, just all kind of things in this crazy world we live in. I thought to myself, what peace to know that when this world can't afford a child of God any longer, they'll have a home in heaven with thee for eternity. Glory, hallelujah. Come to him by faith. Willing to repent of your sins, confess them before men, be willing to be buried, you all, in the water of grave baptism, that God may add you to the church and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And here, let me encourage you to do this. And those who are baptized believers, don't give.